All right, everyone, good afternoon. It is Monday, March 4th, 2024, MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. Joined by my co-host here, Mr. Big Marcel. We're going to be recapping UFC Vegas 87 on this podcast. Then we'll do a second podcast. We'll be previewing UFC 299. I'm actually really looking forward to the 299 preview, Marcel. That card's sick. So looking forward to that. But let's start with UFC Vegas 87. Anyways, Marcel, how are you? How's things with you? How was your weekend?
Yeah, man, it was good. You know, a little bit of an earlier card, but that helps when you have more work to do, you know, so you have more more time left. So, it's good. Looking forward to 299, which we're going to break down in the next podcast, obviously. How are you doing, man?
Not too bad, man. Looking forward to talking about the card with you. Let's get some comments, though. First, got Glenn in the chat. Glenn says, congrats, Marcel. 90,000 followers. Wow. Yeah. Damn, you're famous, bro.
It's actually crazy. I remember when I made a post like thank you for following, and it was like when I had 3k. So that's crazy.
Thanks. There was a time where I had more than you. I don't, it was years ago, but there was a time.
Yeah,
I got Antoine here. What's up, brother? Hope you're doing well, man. Ghost, what's up, brother? Joe, what's up, man? Glad to have you guys here. Marcel is the man. We got a nice comment for you, Marcel. That's very true. He definitely is. So anyways, let's get into it, guys. We'll do UFC Vegas 87 recap, and then we'll preview UFC 299 in the second half of the podcast. So let's get into it, Marcel. We'll start with the main event, work our way down. I'll ask you a question first before we even get into it, like each fight. But like, how did the fight, the card play out to your expectations? Like, I personally didn't really expect much of the card. I think the prelims were really good, but the main card kind of stunk. What do you think?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I think the main card started very well, you know, with the knockout from Urzec. But after that, it kind of, I thought the main card would be fire, you know, but it wasn't, you know. And I think the prelims were kind of more entertaining. Yeah. I would not give it a bad grade or whatever in total. I would still go 6.5. I think some fights in the prelims save the card pretty much, you know. I think that's how I think about it.
Pretty much agreed with you on that, man. I would say like a 6 because I thought the prelims were awesome. Like I was like, man, this card's fucking good, right? Like it was it was really good. And then the main card kind of stunk, in my opinion, you know. So to me it was a little disappointing the way it played out. I mean, on paper, I think the fights were decent and just didn't play out that way. Like, not the biggest names, but they looked like more exciting fights than what they played out. And I agree with Antoine. The next two cards are ridiculous, the pay-per-view cards. Let's get into this card, though. We'll start with the main event and work our way down. Picks-wise, I did well again, 9-2, which was a good night for me. And I think you went, 8-3, I think.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. You picked Oliveira, right? You ended up picking him, right? Or
who?
Oliveira, I don't know.
Vinicius, I picked him. Yeah,
we didn't talk about that fight, right? We didn't talk about that one, so both had him. Thanks, buddy. Happy Monday, crew.
I gotta tell you, man, when they announced that fight, I was like, Supai is legit, you know, and you saw in the first round, and we'll talk about it later, but Supai did very well, man.
I can't wait to talk about that fight because it was a double bonus fight, obviously. It was a good fight. Let's start with the main event. I mean, let's be honest, we had a shit pick here, Marcel, and you know, looking back at it, like when we were doing the breakdown last week, I was starting to think about it more. I'm like, okay, what happens if this fight gets out of the first or second round? Like, and that's exactly what happened. Gaziev, he did well in the first round. I thought he won the first round. Two of the judges thought he won the first round. One of them gave it to Rosenstrike. I'm not really sure how you get in the first round, but after that, it was pretty much smooth sailing for Rosenstrike. Gaziev gassed really hard. And I mean, I don't want to call him a quitter. I think a lot of people are calling him a quitter. I think his eye was pretty fucked up. I don't blame him for not wanting to fight anymore, really. I mean, I guess that would be quitting. It says TKO retirement. I think it's more of a ref stop. The ref stopped it, so I don't know how it's the retirement. You know what I mean? Like, it was I thought it was a doctor stoppage. Technically, it's a referee stoppage, right? Because they called the doctor in, but Goddard's the one who ended the fight. I think it was a good refing by Goddard. But yeah, I mean, we got to give Biggie Boys props here, Marcel. We got a bad pick on this one. Main events have been tough lately for me. I mean, three straight underdogs winning. It's like this, you know, with Gaziev. I wasn't too impressed by his fighting contender, and that's why I picked Budai. And then he goes out there and just destroys Budai. And I'm like, okay, I guess I was wrong about this guy. He's really good. And now he looks like shit again. So I'm like, I really don't know what to think about this dude. And then with Rosenstrike, obviously, you know, I kind of forgot how good he can be striking, you know, because he hasn't looked great the last couple fights, really. But when he's fighting a guy like this who's not top 15, you know, he goes out there and destroys him. So good win for Biggie Boy. He gets the upside win here. Marcel, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I always have to laugh when Goddard gets so, how do you say that, so strict. Like, I want to hear what he said. Well, he did well. He did very well, Goddard. Yeah, I mean, the thing was with Shamil, like, when he felt like I can't get the takedown anymore, and he was just walking him, was walking after him, and he was just getting straight punched with jabs in the face. Looked really bad, you know. Even the Rozenstruik knocked out his mouth guard, and Rozenstruik was nice enough to let him pick it up and to get it back in. Yeah, I mean, what wasn't a good performance by Gaziev, you know. I think Rozenstruik did what he had to do, and it was like he pretty much after 1.5 rounds the fight was over, you know. It was Rozenstruik's fight, and I felt like Rozenstruik was like, I'm not going to do anything weird, you know, I'm just going to take my time, I need to win here, obviously, and he did well, you know, and I also had the feeling that Gaziev was like, he didn't want to take the extra risk, you know, he could have maybe got the extra risk, but he would have risked to get knocked out pretty much, you know, if he did something something crazy. I felt like he didn't want that. Yeah. Good win for Rozenstruik. I'm happy for him, man. He talked like, I think he talked on Tuesday or Wednesday with my colleague Dennis. And Dennis asked him, like, why did they never make that fight between you and Derek Lewis? And he was like, they actually did. You know, we were supposed to fight. But then Lewis had to take the Jelton Almeida fight in Sao Paulo. So that fight between us didn't happen. So I think they should book that fight now, man. I think it's a perfect time, Rozenstruik against Lewis. Book that fight, you know, everybody wants to see it.
Derek Lewis?
Yeah,
book that makes fight. Makes sense, right? Or Tai Tuivasa. I mean, either one of those guys. I say just give him strikers. Go give him grapplers, man. We don't need to see him get, you know, wrestle fucked anymore. Mm-hmm. He's more fun on the feet, especially the guy that could strike with him, like a Lewis or. But that, to be fair, I mean, that fight could be a staring contest, too. It could be. And it's possible. So, but I think it is the right fight to make. Tough guys. Yeah, Marcus likes that, too. So I believe in Biggie Boy. I mean, you know what? Same, but. I mean, the guy does have a winning record in the UFC. He does have all his wins by knockout in the UFC. So he's definitely a devastating striker.
Well, what do you mean with a believer, you know? I mean, if you ask me, I'm a believer in Biggie Boy going back to the top five or whatever. No, I'm also not a believer, you know? But I think he beats still a lot of guys, like, under the top 10 probably.
Yeah, oh, yeah, much, and he proved know? That here. You know, yeah. Like, looking at the stats, I mean, it was a kind of a blowout. 127 significant strikes to 22. Mm-hmm. Fucking blowout. I did give Gaziev the first round, but
mm-hmm, me too.
After that, it was bad. So yeah, I mean, the guy clearly wasn't ready, and he's 34 too. You know what I mean? So he's your age, Marcel.
Yeah, he's just one year younger than Biggie Boy. It was
like, yeah, so that's true too. I mean, Biggie Boy had what 15 fights in the UFC. So
yeah.
Anyways, the guy wasn't that impressive. Co-main event.
Yeah,
bro, I fucking hated this fight. It was a terrible fight to watch. I figured Petrino would wrestle, and that's what he did. So that's kind of how I thought it'd play out, but I thought he would finish the fight. Pedro looked like shit. Pedro retired after the fight, although he didn't retire from MMA, he retired from the UFC. He said he still wants to fight in the regional circuit in Australia, so he's still got to make some money beating up some bums in Australia, I'm guessing. He can't compete at the UFC level, I guess. I guess he thinks. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised. Like, wouldn't he rather stay in the UFC roster and make whatever he's making, you know, fighting guys like Turkai? It was kind of confusing.
I mean... You know? Let's be really honest, Adam. They gave him some layups, you know. They gave him Harry Hunsucker. They gave him Ike Villanueva, you know.
So they tried to build him back up after that long layoff, and
yeah,
you know, that fight with Bukauskas kind of showed me that this guy's not that great. And then obviously, you know, this fight again, you know, Petrino. Yeah, I mean, he's been good though in the UFC 4-0. I'll give him a pass on this one just because he's looked good otherwise. But this was a shit fight. There's nothing else I really want to say about this fight. And you.
Yeah, it wasn't a good fight. You know, you saw Petrino after two rounds. He was like, I probably have it in the back. Let's play safe. So he took him down in the third round. And there was still a judge who gave one round to Pedro.
I think know the second round, which I guess was kind of close. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't agree with that, to be honest, man. Either. Yeah. But I mean, the call out, I was laughing because he sounds like Renato Moicano. He's like, I want to fight Anthony Schmidt. And that's what Moicano says as well. I think the Brazilian way of saying Smith. Yeah, why not? You know, if Anthony Smith is okay with the fight, they can do it in Rio. You know, you have a guy who is a promising guy in the division. I think, listen, wasn't a great fight, but he definitely should get, a higher ranked opponent, in my opinion. So
yeah. Smith's ranked number 10. Petrino's not ranked, but he could be ranked 15th. I mean, he's got four wins in the UFC.
I mean,
To be honest, Dominic Reyes shouldn't be ranked anymore, to be honest with you, you know?
True, but I mean, Adam, if you can match up Shamil Gaziev in the second fight against Rozenstruik, you can match up Petrino with Anthony Smith, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fight would be fine. I don't mind that fight at all. So he called him out. I'm fine with it. Yeah, we think it's fine, you know? Because Smith is, you know, he's coming off that brutal loss to Khalil. He wants to keep fighting, and yeah. All right, go to the next fight here. Mohamed Makhachev defeats Alex Perez by decision. It was, like you said, Marcel, it was a tougher fight than it looked, I guess, because Perez, when he's healthy, he's a good fighter. This was a close fight, man. It was 1-1 heading in the third round. The thing was, it was close even in the third round, but Perez just didn't do enough. He just didn't do enough, Marcel. Defending takedowns isn't enough to win. You have to land punches, too. Makhachev did just a little bit more and won the fight. But I also feel like, yeah, he won the fight. He's now 6-0 in the UFC. But I also feel like, Marcel, this is a fight to show me, like, he won't be that competitive if he fights for the belt against Pantoja. I'm more convinced Pantoja wins after this. Like, don't get me wrong, Makhachev is a good fighter, good prospect. I think he should get the title shot just because there's not really any options right now. Like, Abazi's not healthy. You know, the other guy, Roy Val, I don't think should get it. So I would go with Makhachev, but I would definitely lean Pantoja. I mean, I think everyone would, right? So any thoughts about this one?
Yeah, I'm honestly happy that Perez gave him a good fight because people were shitting on Perez, and I think he did well. Although, yeah, man, I mean, Makhachev clearly won the first round. Second round was for Perez. Third round, I think, was close, but I have no problem if you give it to Makhachev. I think he did enough to win that round. Yeah, man, I mean, it was like, for me, Makhachev gave him the title shot. I have no problem with it, you know? I think I saw Renato Marcano's podcast, and he had Gilbert Burns on his show. And Gilbert said, like, he asked him what he thought that Pantoja was going to fight. And Gilbert was like, yeah, I mean, he's like, he definitely wants to defend his belt in Rio de Janeiro, you know? And he's like, it's probably going to be Makhachev. He's like, maybe it's not like he didn't do really great last weekend, he said, but he won the fight. And I mean, he said, why should he fight Roy Val for the third time, you know, and close after the second time? I mean, Pantoja was somebody new, and he will sign to fight Makhachev, he said. So, and Burns is a good friend of Pantoja. So, I mean, what can happen? Makhachev can lose that fight, and what then? He's still super young, and he can still make his way up back to the top, you know? So I don't think there's anything bad in that. If you look at the other options, there are not many. You got Roy Val, but do you want to see that fight again after we see him in December already? I don't know. You got Kapp. Kapp had a problem with his weight last time out, but you don't know. He said he's back in 8 weeks, but I think that's April 27th. So I have no idea. But, yeah. I would give it Makhachev. I have no problem with it.
This was a close fight for sure, you know. Did you score for Makhachev, though? You gave it to him? Like, edged it?
I think he won 1-3.
Yeah.
But 3, very slightly.
Yeah, it was so slight. Yeah, I agree. Next fight here, Umar Nurmagomedov against Bezcat Almakan. Dude, I mean, holy fuck. Like, that head kick, my God. It sure seemed like – or was it a punch? Sorry, it was a punch. My bad. I was thinking about another fight. But that punch, though, my God, dude. I mean, it looked like he was out and then just immediately wrestled. So, I mean, I think Bexad's good. I think we all know that now. I mean, a lot of people thought that going into this fight. But Umar just levels above with the grappling. But again, I still – and my tweet went up and I said, you know, some people disagreed with me. And I still think the jury's out in the striking and really haven't seen that much of it other than the Barcelos knockout. He relies heavily on his ground game. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's one of these elite grapplers, right? But – I don't know, Marcel. I mean, if there's some guy, like if Corey Sandhagen fights him, Corey's got good wrestling. If he can counter the wrestling and keep it standing, I think he could be in trouble. So I'm still not completely sold on this guy. I mean, he's definitely a good fighter. I think he could be a champion because his grappling is elite, but I'm still not completely sold on his striking, man. So I don't know. What do you think?
This is very simple, man. Corey Sandhagen said he wanted to fight him. Umar said he wants to fight him. Make that fight, you know. You can, but you can let that headline even in Saudi Arabia, I think, you know, if you want to, you know. That's a good fight. You get, if the winner is probably a contender for the belt next, in my opinion. So, yeah, you can make that fight. I like that fight a lot. And I think Umar did smart, you know. He went immediately for the takedown. He got the takedown, and he pretty much controlled the whole fight on the ground. Yep. And I think Almakan did well for what he could do, you know. He will get a regular fighter at bantamweight, you know, next. Not the top 15 guy, just a regular fighter. And that's good, you know. I'm happy for him. He's in the UFC. He had to take this one to get in the UFC. And I think he didn't do bad. He actually hurt Umar early on. But, yeah, it pretty much went like most of us expected it, that Umar would win. So, yeah.
I'll say this, you know, he landed that shot. But I'm looking at the stats. He only landed three significant strikes the entire fight. Three. Mm-hmm. So he really, other than that big punch, it grazed like the temple right here. It caught him in that good spot where you can knock someone out. Other than that, he didn't really do much. Although his counter wrestling looked good at times, he still got Umar had 11 minutes of control time. So, I mean, it was pretty one sided. It was, I think it was 30-26, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he had a 30-25 for Michael Bell. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him, though, honestly. Performance of the night goes to Steve Urseg, knocks out Matt Schnell, calls out Brandon Moreno. I honestly don't mind this fight at all. I mean, I know Cejudo's called him Moreno. Moreno's fighting on that card in the Sphere. You would, if you're a Mexican fan, you'd hope he gets an easy opponent, but he's not going to. He's probably going to fight someone really fucking good like Urseg. I don't mind this fight at all. I actually called for it in the Discord after the fight was made. I was like, he should fight Moreno, and then he called him out a minute later. So I like this fight. I think it's a good fight. I actually think Urseg can win that fight, Marcel, because I think Moreno's a little bit on the decline right now. And Urseg, dude, he's looked great in the UFC. I mean, he's looked great. His ground game and now his striking too. So he did get caught a little bit by some shots with Schnell. But again, you know, put Schnell out, brutal fashion wins the bonus. So what do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think we both called that Urseg was going to win, but I didn't thought he was going to knock him out clean in the second round. He did very well, you know. The thing is with Matt Schnell, he's super inconsistent. Like I said last week, I don't have anything against him, but he's inconsistent. So you only had a real moment there in between the announcement of the winner and when Schnell was knocked out. I don't know if you saw the clip.
I saw it. Yeah. He goes, oh, what was worse, the punch or you hitting your head on the canvas?
Yeah.
That's a fucking dick. I don't know why he said that.
Weirdo, but I've said enough about Toyoni, I think, in this podcast. But I mean, good win for Urseg. The funny thing is, like, when he came in the UFC, we all thought like he's a really good grappler, you know. Now he's knocking out people, so he's developing in that as well. I'm good with him fighting Moreno, man. I have no problem with that. I think there are a lot of options, to be honest, you know, for Urseg, but Moreno is a good option.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. I mean, you could put him against any of these guys. I think Kai Car France would be a good fight too. I mean, whenever he gets healthy, that would be a fun fight. Although I don't know if they'd match up to Australian, or I don't know if Car France is from New Zealand, but you know what I mean? I don't know if they would match up, but it'd be a good fight though, right?
Bro, it's a fucking fun fight if they go to New Zealand or Australia.
It makes a lot of sense, right? That's a head for fight night. Like you could headline it or even
call an event.
But there's a question here. Who do you have, Merab Umar? I would go with still Merab. I mean, I think he's more proven. I don't know who you would mean, but I would be Merab.
Hard, very hard. I'm not going to think about it as long as it's not made. So
it probably won't get made anyways. All right, let's go to the prelims now. This fight was fucking awful. Eric Anders' decision over Jamie Pickett. Terrible fight. Any thoughts?
No. It was like, I mean, Eric Anders got knocked down in the first round by fucking Jamie Pickett. I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know? And then Eric Anders was like, I'm going to wrestle and we're going to win this fight. And that was smart of his, you know? But I think I said in the Discord as well, why is this the featured prelim, you know? We have better prelims. And this was originally on the main card, right? So
I thought the original featured prelim was the Ludovic Klein fight, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah, it was against Joel Alvarez. That was the original.
Oh, that's right. Prelim. Yeah, when they before the rebooking, yeah. I mean, there's nothing else I want to say about this fight. I guess Jamie Pickett retired. Do you care?
Yeah, he did. Did you hear what Jamie Pickett said?
What did he say?
UFC's bunch of scumbags. He was like, I never turned down a fight only once when they offered me Alex Pereira. I was like, fuck his scumbags. They offered him Alex
Pereira. They probably did that in his debut, in Pereira's debut.
Yeah, but still.
And then he fought that Greek guy, Andreas
Michalidis. Yeah.
And actually, he got taken. Remember, he got taken down?
Yeah, the first round.
Pickett. 5-fight losing skid, 2-7 record in the UFC. Mm. And if you add his contender fights, 3-9. So bad. So bad. He's still, just not UFC caliber. I mean, but I will say he fought some tough guys. I mean, I will say that, you know?
Still, he made it, you know? And like you said, he almost never said no to a fight. So got to respect him for that.
The you thing know, Marcel, is like, when he got knocked out by Jordan Wright, though, you know this guy wasn't that good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's true.
Go ahead, though. Sorry, what were you going to say?
But, yeah, the thing is, like, we cannot hate on a man's dreams, you know?
He did what he had to do.
And, he wasn't the best. He was maybe not UFC caliber, but still. I mean, he fought many times in the UFC and maybe more than we expected. You know, I thought after this last fight, he was probably gonna get cut. He still got another one, but maybe he got another one because this was his last one and he asked for a last fight. You know, it's possible. We've seen it before. And good for him. He said like he wants to retire because He wants to play with more, play with his daughter. I think he wants to see her grow up and not get any more damage. And yeah, I respect that, you know.
Well, he didn't take any in this fight, that's for sure.
Yeah,
riding a bull into the future, huh? Yeah. Triple C said he won 131. Was it 131 or just 125?
I have no idea.
I thought it was just a flyweight because I thought he was going to drop back down. Anyways, all right.
Oh, no, it was 135, actually. It was a bantamweight.
Oh, bantamweight. Okay. Yeah, I think Borrell's going to stay a flyweight, I think. All right. Fight of the night and performance of the night. Vinicius Oliveira defeats Bernardo Sopai. I mean, this fight was fucking crazy. Let's be honest. It was crazy because it sure looked like Sopai was on his way to a win. He obviously controlled the first round, controlled most of the second round, and then just completely gassed out. And Oliveira just went crazy in that third round, and that flying knee with 19 seconds left, 441 of round three, probably the knockout of the year so far. I mean, it's only been 2 months, but it's probably the knockout of the year, I would say, so far. Go ahead.
They're probably gonna overload it with some random TKO in a title fight, you know, they always do.
Dude, this was a good fight, man. It was a fucking war. Yeah, I mean, Oliveira's an absolute monster. I mean, the guy's got crazy knockout power. The last couple, like, he killed that guy in Contender, and they just basically killed this dude, too. So he's got, like, murderous knockout power. He's a lot of fun to watch. His grappling's still a question mark, though, man. I mean, he fights grapplers, Marcel. He could just get grinded out. You know, the problem was Sopai came in, and I know he trained for another fight, but he did take it on short notice. It was a week earlier, and he was fighting someone that, you know, is probably a little bit ahead of him. I still think Sopai's a good prospect, but I also feel like, bro, this is the kind of fight where I don't know if you can really recover from this kind of fight because it was just such a brutal fight and the knockout was so brutal that I've seen guys get knocked out like this and they never recover. Like he might go on like a four fight losing skid after this one, man, getting knocked out every fight, even though he's skilled. He's very skilled, this kid, but I don't know. I'm very concerned about him. I'm glad they gave him the fight of the night bonus, though. I mean, that's a nice bonus for both guys. I was a little surprised just because they don't usually do the double bonuses and there was other good finishes on the card. Like, I think you could have given one to Loic and to Klein, but I mean, I'm fine with it too at the same time. It was a great fight and an amazing knockout. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, great knockout, man. I mean, this week also we got to see that we can ride Bernardo Sopai in like six different ways. You know, I think he got his name different than the UFC has. I think he calls himself Bernardo
Sopai. That's what I'm saying. So his Instagram has a different name than you guys have on top. Or Topology, I think, it's different too, right? I'm so confused.
Topology has Sopai with a J on this in the end. And himself has it with an I. The UFC has it with a J. But also the UFC has it as Bernardo. So not Bernardo, but Bernardo.
Yeah.
So it's really weird. I have no idea. But that said, I think he did very well early on, man. And
he did.
I want to see him. I know he was in camp, but still, it was a short notice fight. He didn't know until 3 or 4 days before the event he was going to fight Vini. And Vini didn't know, of course, about Sopai, but he was supposed to fight on Saturday. I want to see him with a full camp when he knows his opponent, what he's going to do. And I think he did pretty well, you know. He got flipped. After the first half of the second round, and after that, it went backwards for him pretty much. You know what I mean? So yeah, good win for Oliveira. But I think Sopai is a good guy, a good fighter, and I hope he can come back and that the knockout didn't do any real damage. You know what I mean?
What do you think about giving him two bonuses? You like that or?
The thing is, like, I have no problem with it because I think it's a good. It was an amazing performance. Like, it was fight of the night to me, you know. And you got to give him performance, in my opinion. So I have no problem with it. But there are other guys, like you said, like Luke Radzibov, Ludovic Klein, even Christian Leroy Duncan. You know, they all didn't got a bonus of 50K. I mean, I'm still for like give everybody all finishes on the card a bonus, you know. And if you do, you can go. Why don't we do like, fuck it, we do like the performance bonus, we get 50K, the fight of the night bonus, we get 50K, and all the other guys who got a finish, we don't get the performance of fight of the night, we give them 25K extra or something. You know what I mean? Do something.
I mean, I agree. I remember that UFC, what was it? Was it 217? Was that the one GSP and Bisping? Was that the one?
Yeah.
And they made all that money. They made $6 million gate, and then they They cut that last bonus in half between OSP and Hamosh. 25 each. I mean, come on. They could have given an extra 50. Anyways. All right, next fight. Huge upset here. Iman Zahavi defeats Javid Basharat. You know, Marcel, I was saying, like, maybe he's being overlooked, and I think he was. I thought he won the fight. I know some people scored for Basharat. I don't think so. I think Zahavi won. 2 rounds to 1. An underdog again. He's won 4 straight fights. I think he's been the underdog in all these fights. So he's a guy that's, you know, constantly being overlooked. And it wasn't a very, like, you know, amazing fight to watch by any means, but he definitely won the fight. And if you had a ticket, you'd cash like plus 500 odds. So anything you want to say?
No, I think it was a close fight. I had no problem with Iman winning. I mean, he got now 4 wins in a row. Very good. I mean, Basharat is very, very good, man. He's a really good prospect. But and now I'm going to ask you this question again, like we thought last time, you know. Who do you think has the higher ceiling, yeah, Javid or Farid?
Oh, I think his brother probably, right? Who did I say last week?
I think we first said Javid, then we saw Farid fight, and we were like, maybe it's like leveled, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm also more of Farid probably, but I probably still think brother. Javid is pretty good, you know?
So. They're both good. I mean, he's a good fighter, but again, you know, the guy who's... I think Javid beats a lot of guys still, but I just think Zahavi is just underrated. You know, people don't give him any credit at all, so... the top hype, by the way. Heard Oleg Sejchuk. This is from the next podcast. I have no idea about that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Whether Basharat pros don't get ranked as fast as Umar. Well, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you know, it kind of showed, I guess, why he wasn't ranked. What got robbed. I think Loic should have got a bonus too, personally. Christian Bieber Duncan, pretty much one-sided fight against Claudio Ribeiro. What the fuck was Ribeiro doing? He was just staring at him and covering up like this for the first 5 minutes. It was terrible, and I'm like, what is this guy doing? His only chance to win was a first round knockout, and he just covered up and just, you know, turtled up and then gets finished on the ground. I think Duncan could have got a bonus, but again, it was so one-sided that I can see why they didn't. But you know, good for Duncan, 3-1 now in the UFC. He'll obviously get another contract, and you know, good prospect at 185, right? So
you're still crazy for calling his only loss. In my opinion, I mean,
I did pick that one, yeah. Didn't I? Yeah, or I did pick Petrosian against Vieira, and that wasn't too good of a pick, but yeah. I mean, it was a good performance by him. Ludovic Klein
I like what Pato says. Lira Duncan against Kopilov would be a good matchup.
That'd be a fun fight. Yeah, I like Kopilov a lot. Again, he's like Biggie Boy. Just give him strikers. We don't need to give Kopilov grapplers. Just give him strikers. They both be heat barrels, so it makes sense. Ludovic Klein gets the knockout over AJ Cunningham. I mean, AJ Cunningham took so much damage in this fight, dude. I think Klein looked amazing, but again, he was fighting a guy that shouldn't be in the UFC, let's be honest. You know what's crazy? So this is the third, you guys are going to be blown away by this. It's the third front kick knockout in UFC history, okay? So to the body. Because obviously Anderson Silva and Machida had the front kicks in the face. But the third front kick knockout to the body in UFC history. So it's an incredibly rare knockout. Like, you're talking once every like 1,000 fights or something like that. But none of the guys who got a bonus, which is kind of interesting, you know? So do you know who the other two are? I checked it out. You don't know?
No.
So there's three. So there's Klein.
Yeah.
And then Volkov, when he knocked out Walt Harris, kicked him in the body with a front kick. And the other one's Dan Hooker against Claudio Coyes. Right. Yeah. Okay. So... yeah, I mean, those are the three, and none of them got the bonus. So that's kind of interesting, I thought. But yeah, I mean, Klein looked amazing, right? Who should we match up Klein with? He's 4-0-1 in his last 5 fights. He's looked really good, man.
Yeah, match him up with the winner of Alvarez against Rebeski.
Sure. I mean, they were supposed to fight Alvarez anyways. That'd be good. Fine with it. And then I called this upset, Loic Radjabov. I mean, I thought he'd wrestle. He knocks it the fuck out of Abdul Karim Melzawadi. It was 1-1 hitting in the third round. The commentators were like, man, this guy's gassing out. He's got too much muscle on his back and stuff. And then just completely brutally knocks out Abdul, who's been knocked out, like, I think, like 4 times now. So his chin is not very good. But, you know, Loic he's not bad, Marcel. You know, I just think people are kind of writing him off too soon after losing Rebeski. Like that, I just think it shows you how good Rebeski is, right? Because he destroyed him. I think Loic should have got a bonus. What do you think?
I agree with you, man. I think the first round was he did very well, you know. Abdul Karim came back in the second round, you know. I think it was 19-19 going in third. And I was like, Abdul Karim is probably going to pull away, you know, with the decision here. Yep. But then Loic hits him and he finishes him. Very well done by him. Good win. Good underdog pick by you. Good win for Radjabov. I think he deserved the bonus. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I thought so too, but, you know, it is what it is. Let's go to a couple comments. Sorry. All right, here we go. Losers all around. He's nothing to client. AJ took a beating, looked awful. Yeah, I mean, it was brutal. Keep thinking Hibero was Pereira with the blue hair. Pereira is much better. He barreled through four strikes. Yeah, I mean, that was bad. Klein versus Torres. Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
People forget. Like, yeah, Loic had so much experience. Loic knocked the kid out in the first. He did hurt him. Actually, I thought Loic was the one who hurt. I thought Abdul hurt Loic at the end of the first round, wasn't it?
Yeah, but before that, Loic almost took
Abdul. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a pretty good fight, actually. I thought it was a good fight to open the card.
It was. It was very low on the card as well. I thought it was way too low on the card.
Has Loic opened up like multiple cards now? I think he opened up
against Rebo Fitz.
Yeah, and that fight was fucking great too. Yeah. That was a great fight. I mean,
that should have been fight of the night.
That fight was really good. You know, if you guys haven't seen that one, go back. And then the Robeski fight was a fucking beating, but you know, was that on prelims too?
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't the opener, but it was on the prelims for sure.
It was. So I don't know. I think the guy is decent. I'm not saying he's amazing because, again, he was 33 and, you know, he's taken, you know, some losses in his career, but I think he's decent and a lot of experience. So I liked him. Anyways, again, overall, great prelims, I think, guys, but the main card kind of stunk. You know, that's the problem with this card. So, and we both said 6 out of 10. Anything else you want to say with this card? Can we move on?
No, man, I thought it was an okay card. You know, nothing super spectacular besides like the Gracie knockout. But yeah. I mean, like you said, man, the prelims were probably more entertaining than the main card was. I don't think the main card was bad or anything. You know, it was just not as, like, super exciting, I think.
Did you watch – okay, we'll move on. Did you watch Jorge Masvidal's card?
No.
You see the results?
I see also the Sherman against Nicholson one and the Dos Santos against Belcher, yeah.
Let's talk about it really quick, I guess, just because there were so many former UFC fighters on it. I just saw that. I didn't watch the card. I did see the results and I saw the highlights. Let's just really quickly go through it, because again, there's like most of the guys were in the UFC. JDS knocked out Alan Belcher. Chase Sherman knocked out Alex Nicholson. So those are all former UFC guys. Henderson Ferreira defeated Carl Roberson by decision. TJ Brown submitted Mandel Nalo. Jesse Ronson submitted Anthony Njukwuanu, who I can't believe is still fighting. Brandon Jenkins had a really good knockout on Tyler Hill. I don't know Anvar Boysenarov. I don't really know him.
Yeah, he's former Glory kickboxer.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's right. And he got a knockout. And then this guy, Joe Penifiel, who's a pretty good like regional scene guy, knocked out Crazy Horse Bennett. So I didn't see the card, guys. I know maybe some of you guys did, but some big names on that card. And now, obviously, you're hearing that Masvidal wants to come back. So do you think he comes to the UFC, or do you think he fights – like if he is in boxing or something, or what do you think?
I think it depends if he still has fights on his contract on the UFC when he left. You know, I think that's the thing. If he doesn't have, then he probably can fight wherever he wants. It's like all the time, man, when people go, how do you say that? And with, how do you say that? Retirement, you know, and they come back. If you still have the contract there, you still have to fulfill that. Remember Misha Tate when she stopped? When she retired, and then she wanted to fight for one championship, you know, and the UFC was like, hey, you still have fights here. Now she's in the UFC.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the thing. Like, will they even let him out of it? Like, I know he retired and everything, but does he still have a contract? Yes,
with people.
I'm not sure. I did see that picture of JDS's broken nose. Someone's talking about it in the chat. I didn't catch the fight. I just saw the finishes. But yeah, I mean, it looked like it was a pretty decent card. But yeah. All right. I think we should end this. This pod, and we'll start the new one here, guys. We got a lot of viewers, which is good. Just give me a second here, guys. I'm going to get the UFC 299 preview set up, and I just want to get Glenn's comment here. He did mention that next week will be the daylight saving time, and it's true, and I did see that this morning. I completely forgot it was March 10th, so I think we'll probably do the podcast next Monday if I had to guess, but just in case, it's always good to know that. And by the way, this fight's pretty good. Buck to Beck Oralby is fighting Elvis Brenner in Brazil, right? That's a
And at 155 now. So yeah.
Is it? Okay. So he's moving down the weight. So yeah. Anyways, that's a good fight. All right. So just give me a second here, guys, and we'll send you the link. I'll tweet the link out and we'll do the UFC 299 previews. Just hold on a sec. All right. Peace.